Good afternoon and welcome to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. I am Story County Sheriff Gerald Antonoro. We are here in our new time slot, so I hope our listeners remembered and have followed us over here for today's show. Right off the bat, before we get into the guests and everything, I want to introduce a special guest that we have here with us by the name of Jordan. Jordan, say hi.
Hi.
You are on the radio. You're going to have to speak up just a little bit more. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? How old are you? And what can we answer for you here being on the air with us? Live radio heard everywhere in the world.
I'm 12. I live in Reno, Nevada. I have two homes. I live in Sparks and Reno. I go to school at Cold Springs Middle School.
Cool. Yeah, that's pretty good being 12 years old and still having two houses. I'm still working on one. Well, Jordan, we appreciate you coming in and joining us here today. Is there anything specific that we can answer for you before we get going into the show?
Yes, I would like to know if I were to become a sheriff, a deputy, or any sort of law enforcement, what would I need to do to get there?
Well, first you got to get about 9 more years on you, because you have to be 21 in the state of Nevada. In the meantime, though, what you can do to work towards those ends is get good grades in school, make sure that you listen to your mom and your grandma, because your grandma's who brought you here today, or made the arrangements for you to be here, and I'll get in trouble with your grandma if you don't listen to her. So, get good grades between the time you're 18 and you're done with high school and the time you're 21 when you could join the police academy. Get some college in there, learn as much as you can, volunteer, get involved with your community. Boy Scouts is a good program. Any number of things along those lines make you well prepared. And if you get a chance, you got a couple of years in between high school and the police academy, might even consider jumping in the military for a couple of years. It'll teach you a lot of good things, and plus it'll give you a chance to see the world. How's that for an answer?
I actually wanted to be in the military. I have since I was about 5.
Well, there you go. Jordan, we're going to let you go. Thanks for coming on, but we'll see you up in Virginia City at the Kettle Corn Shop, right?
Yep.
All right. Now, we're going to get going with the rest of the show. So, folks, if you'd like to get involved with today's show, whether you're listening on 1180 AM KCKQ, a Lotus radio signal, or online at americamatters.us, that you can call in toll-free anywhere in the world, 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255, and that's toll-free anywhere in the world. And we've got a lot we're going to go through today, so callers, if you do call in, we will try to get to you, but no promises. My friends today are none other than Sam Toll, the storyteller, owner and author of The Storyteller Online. Welcome back, Sam. We're always glad to have you on the show and for you to share your insights with us.
Jerry, thanks for having me. As always, it's just another day in paradise here in Northern Nevada, and I'm very grateful for you giving me a chance to come on the air.
Well, you've done a lot for me on your blog, so I might as well return the favor to you, right?
Thank you.
We're also privileged today to have with us Virginia City resident Lee Nashhold. Lee is new to the retirement scene, so to speak. My understanding is he's only retired 3 or 4 times now. But he and his wife do own a shop in Virginia City, the Virginia Hills Mercantile. So if you get a chance, stop in and see him. Lee, welcome to the show. We're looking forward to hearing your insights today.
Jerry, I appreciate the invitation to be on your show. My first time on radio as well, so don't feel bad.
Oh, you and Jordan have a little bit in common.
We do.
All right. A little later in the show, we're hoping to get a caller join us for a few minutes. It'll probably be in our final segment, but we're going to be joined by telephone by a gentleman by the name of Gus Finkel. Gus is a friend and the current chairman of the 601 Vigilance Committee. He's going to be here sharing some information on some upcoming events in Virginia City. So we've only got a little bit of time before we have to jump right into our first break. So while we're working into that, let me give you a little bit of background since we just brought up the 601 Vigilance Committee. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Virginia City, you can usually find some members of the 601 around town any day. Most definitely, you're going to find them on the weekend. They make up a large part of those folks that you see wandering around town, all cowboyed up, wearing six guns, looking like they stepped right out of the pages of history. A lot of those are 601 members. Now, whether they were known as the 601 or by a variety of names, the Vigilance Committee has its history in many old Western towns and lore over the course of time. The short version of what the Vigilance Committee is, whether it was the 601 or any of the others from history, is that they often filled in where the real law was absent or when they failed to do their duties. Now, there were some times that maybe they went a little bit further than what they should have, but, you know, that's the days of history. Our modern 601 Vigilance Committee in Virginia City is a philanthropist group that attempts to hold on to some of those wonders of the past while trying to do some good in our present and our future. But with that, folks, we are already approaching our first break. And we haven't even gotten going in today's show yet, but stay with us. We're going to be right back. We'll get to talking about some more politics. What else is new? We love talking about politics on this show. It's what we're all about. I know Sam lives for it.
Sure do.
Lee's been dabbling in them some, so we're gonna throw him into the deep end and watch him, see if he can swim. Folks, you're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Remember, you can call us from anywhere in the world toll-free at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. And we will be right back. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And our guest Jordan has left the room, but we're going to get going with our other guests that are here, Sam, Lee. Just to get things started, last week we had a couple of callers here in the on the show. We didn't get to both of them because one dropped, but I found out later that the question that he had was about my use of the word detractors. Anybody who's listened to the show knows that I've referred to detractors pretty much every broadcast, I think. But to answer that question for the gentleman who wanted to know, as far and also for anybody else who may have that same question, let's just take a moment to explore that. Okay, according to the freedictionary.com, detractor is one who disparages or belittles the worth of something or someone. And the little sub definitions that they give, one who attacks the reputation of another by slander or libel, one who arouses hatred for others, one who spreads real or alleged scandal about another, and get this, folks, usually for political advantage.
Nuh-uh.
Straight from the dictionary, I tell you. And someone who is critical of the motives of others. So as it relates to the conversations that we've had over the different shows, the political climate of Story County is replete with detractors. Now, I know that you guys, my guests here, are rolling their eyes. I know they just cannot believe that. You know, but over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, you know, I've been accused of criminal acts. I've been accused of abusive employment practices and so many other things. I mean, I'm just a horrible, evil individual. But I got reelected, so, you know, I must be doing something right. So let's look at the detractors for just a moment. And guys, jump in anywhere you want to. You know, who are these detractors that I refer to? Well, I could name names, but that's a no-no, so we won't name names. But let's categorize some of them. How about former employees, some of who have left on less than favorable terms. Now, Sam, do you think somebody like that would be a detractor?
Yeah, as a fellow who's employed, over 1,000 people, I operated a shop that had great atmosphere, but, not everybody liked me. When folks left the company's employ, I had some of them who had great things to say about me and others who didn't. You can't please everybody. And when folks, when someone gets fired, they're generally, their feelings are hurt, their livelihood is hurt. And so they tend to strike out or let's just say have strong opinions about you.
Yeah, that's pretty much right on track with some of these things. Lee, I know you've been in business. You recently retired, as we stated. You've worked with lots of folks. I think you've had several many employees your own self. So what about former or current employees who felt a sense of entitlement but didn't get what they want? Do you think those would be detractors?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've had a few of those, as you stated. And what the interesting thing to me is they never seem to think that they have to bring anything to the table that created their situation. It's always someone else's fault, and admitting that they had anything to do with their dismissal or to be removed from their position is a tough thing for them to do. So it's a lot easier to blame everyone else.
Well, of course. And I know that you guys will have a difficult time with this one. And I am speaking sarcastically, but believe it or not, there are some community members, perhaps they've lived there for one or more generations, or perhaps they've got a little bit of money, or maybe they feel like they've got a bit of power in the county. And so they might feel a sense of privilege, and maybe they were given some type of privilege in the past, because of who they are or what their name is or what they have. Unfortunately, they don't get that same privilege with the current sheriff, who would be me. That's kind of a divergence from the past.
It's interesting, Jerry. We've talked about this at length, and I think that one of the reasons that the community chose to have you sit in for us for another 4 years is that your application of your job and that directly boils down to the men and women on the streets is that everyone is seen with an even light and dealt with an even hand. There's nobody in this town, myself included, because I've been pulled over as well, and you and I, have worked together on a couple of things. And, the application of the law and the rules is uniform across the entire county. Everyone is going to be treated the same way. There's going to be no preferential treatment. Folks aren't going to get singled out and harassed or receive attention they don't necessarily deserve. So, that, again, as we've talked about before, speaks to the community-based policing that you deploy, that your women and men on the streets deploy. And I think it's very welcome, and I believe that's one of the reasons why, the majority of the voters chose to have you return.
Well, thank you for that, Sam. I think we talked about this or touched on this going through what some of these detractors are. So this last group of detractors that I have listed here is just those plain old crazy people who have decided they have an axe to grind and they have focused on me as the cause for their failures in life. Believe it or not, that does happen. It, just like Lee was talking about with employees that cannot accept responsibility for their own existence. And it could be a combination of any of these things or all of these things when it comes to detractors. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, and I think both these gentlemen that are here with me today can attest to this, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm without any fault when it comes to my detractors. But I do own my faults. I accept my responsibilities. I try to grow from any errors that I make. And in the final analysis of things, it doesn't have anything to do with the way I run the office of sheriff. that has to do with their vitriol and filth and outright lies that they are accusing me of. And it's all intended to try and get me out of office because of some misguided belief that somehow they will be personally enriched by it. And the unfortunate thing in this instance, because none of these people really care much about Story County, and a bunch of them don't even live in Story County. Sam, you know, you and I talked not too long ago. As a matter of fact, when we were talking about you coming on the show today, you've recently put a few articles out on your blog dealing with just some of this nastiness. And one of these detractors, who is also a detractor of mine, recently made comment that now that the primary election was over, that he had hoped that the nastiness would stop. But yet then he went right into a tirade about you and about Nicole Bard, who is one of the candidates for Story County Commissioner. You know, this is one of the guys who has been spreading this vileness for 4 or 5 years. You can add as far as from a historical perspective, having grown up on Comstock, and now with your recent time.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. The same families that pushed me around as a little long haired hippie kid, growing up in the mid 70s, early 70s, are now retiring from county employee and occupying in some cases the same bar stool they were on when I left. The reality is that, as you said, there's a lot of folks who think that they, because of their position or what their last name is, that they, have a greater stead in the community than others. And while, when you talk about having detractors and being critical of people, I clearly am critical of things that happen in the county. And so I, wear the detractor hat as far as other folks are. But if you... if you look at the facts and if you look at the people that benefit from different actions that go on in the county, the thing that I stand up against and the reason that, as you described, that this person came after myself and County Commissioner candidate Ms. Bard, is that, we rail against the things that go on in the county that benefit the few at the expense of the many. And one of the big things that County Commissioner Marshall McBride called me a liar on the front page of the newspaper is for pointing out the fact that Story County revenues are down below the levels that they were before Tesla came to the industrial park. And we have been hearing nothing but nonstop ice cream and lollipops with unicorn parades down C Street regarding how much money the industrial park is bringing to the county. The fact is the revenues are down, but the expenses are up because, the county employees needed to provide services at the industrial park have needed to increase based upon, the increase in traffic out there. Your department, your office directly is affected by increased patrols. I mean, I look at the number of calls that y'all do out there. It's amazing that you have so few deputies. I mean, those men and women are busy out there, and we still have to build two new fire stations out there that we don't have the money for. So for me to simply stand up and say, hey, this is an issue, we need to pay attention to what's going on in the county's budget, and then to be called a liar for it, it's frankly disingenuous. But it gives me hope, and it actually lights a fire underneath my fanny. So.
And when we come back, we've got to jump into our next break. But when we come back, we want to hear from Lee on this. Folks, you're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. We'll be right back. Hello, folks. We're back with Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Lee, just before we went to the break, Sam was given some background, having grown up there, some of the things he dealt with up on the Comstock, now his return. You've got property up there. You've been in and out of Virginia City. I know that your work that you retired from recently took you out of the area on a regular basis. So you kind of have a unique perspective of you're a local, but you're not a local. You're kind of dialed in, but you've got an outside perspective on this. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think there's a change in the guard coming down the road in Story County. I really do. And I think it's going to be a refreshing change. And I really like your style of policing. I can see that I think the citizens of Story County and Virginia City are tired of the self-proclaimed elitist snobs who have had a stronghold on this county for quite a long time. They're not receptive. They really don't want to hear what you have to say. And it's pretty discouraging for the store owners and the citizens who, you know, you got a bubble over here where the government is, and there's this huge bubble where the citizens are, and there's nothing going on between the two. And you're a very fair sheriff, a very fair sheriff. And you hold everybody to the same standard. And I really don't know why anyone would have an issue with that. But those who think that they're above the law or should have some type of elitist status obviously are not liking what's going on in the county, especially under your regime.
Well, and Sam can tell you, he and I have talked about community policing on numerous occasions, and, you know, law enforcement has the unique opportunity to provide that interface between government and the people, and a lot of times what they see in law enforcement is the government in the eyes of the people, because that's the part they see on a daily basis. Even in our little old community, that is still the most common contact with government. And I just happened to buy into a fellow by the name of Sir Robert Peel's principles that were authored 100 years ago or so, that said the people are the police and the police are the people. We're just paid to pay special attention to certain dimensions of society, but we can't do our job without the folks. And I try to tell the deputies all the time that these aren't just people, these aren't bad guys, these are our friends, these are our neighbors, these are our families. And in our application of the law and our handling of any law enforcement matter, we need to keep it in perspective as to who it is we are dealing with. We are dealing with ourselves.
Absolutely. And I think you do a really good job. I heard an interesting comment before the election that I want to share with you. And they said, "We like our Mayberry sheriff."
Well, I don't know if I'd go quite that far. We're not quite Mayberry.
But to qualify that, they like the hometown, which you just described, approach to law enforcement. They don't want the rah, 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 come in with canine units and SWAT teams and all this other thing, because we're not that kind of a community, you know. And I think you have a pretty good pulse on the citizens in the area. You know, you respect them, and you administer the law very fairly and equally, in my opinion.
Well, thank you for that. And we're going to take a little bit of a shift right now, because this we build this as being the politics and going ons of Story County and beyond. So we're gonna blow this thing up now, because unfortunately, this is not just Story County. I mean, while it sounds like Washington, D.C. politics, from what I'm hearing all across the state, all across the country, and this is not just at the federal level. This is local levels all over the place. The vileness of American politics is sickening. It's not just our problem. It's not just a Washington problem. Nastiness has blown up as it relates to our local race. They're even attacking our state candidates over it, and that's the local detractors trying to get at me, but the state people are using that as a battle wedge against each other, for the most part, most of them probably don't even know where Story County is, much less any of the real facts of it. But that can have a very significant impact on what happens in our state. And it's all based on this handful of folks in Story County trying to blow stuff up to a state level, and then the state level trying to push their message out and beat their drum, not because of anything that it does or doesn't do for Story County, but because they're interested in winning their own races. So, you know, what do you think? What would you suggest to anybody listening how to get past this, how to see through the nonsense, both on the local level, on the state level, and, you know, God forbid we ever got to the national level. But, you know, I think, Sam, you've said it best, all politics are local.
You know, that's very true. And I think that it's interesting. I cut earlier today before I came down here, I cut the Nevada Libertarian Party's podcast. We do one a week. And today we were talking about the just amazing victory that this young lady in New York, Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez, beat a, you know, established 20-year representative in New York. And I think that we're going to see across the country we saw it with Trump in 2016, a choice to move away from the status quo and the things that, you know, that just are sort of, you know, got a chokehold on the country moving forward. And we're going to start choosing to break that chokehold and to select people who are different, who are out of this mainstream system, who are not part of the program, part of the machine. You know, this gal who won, of course, you know, she's a socialist, she's a Democrat, and I respect her for being passionate about what she believes in. While I may not agree with everything she's about, which she represents, I think, a shift in folks. And Leah, you just touched on this, you know, here in Story County, locally, we're seeing with Jack McGuffey, our you know, sitting county commissioner, being unelected, so to speak, with Jay Carmona's victory, and now with Jay and Nicole Bard running in November, an opportunity to break away from that elitist group that you talked about. But I think this is something that's we're going to see more and more of across the country. And I'm so welcoming this opportunity for change.
Well, I agree with you, but I hope that we come a little bit more center in our new folks that are coming along, because, you know, you're talking about the recent upset in New York. The bottom line, when you look at that young lady, she's a communist. And we got to get back into the history of our country. You know, what has transpired, what's happened, why we have fought the wars that we have to maintain our freedoms. And that's not exactly in the line of what so many people shed their blood for. So we got to get back to the basics. And the other thing that Jerry touched on is, you know, the civility. The one art that has become lost in this country is the art of debate. Civil debate, exchanging ideas, and sitting down and learning to, at the very least, okay, we have to agree to disagree, and let it stop there. And inciting riots by certain representatives of our U.S. government against our sitting president is not the way to do it.
Well, and I guess that's a great point there, Lee. And that's something that I'd like to push out to everybody, especially on the local level. And by local level, I mean those folks in Story County who are still going to have to deal with elections and campaigning and whatnot through November. You know, everybody in Northern Nevada is dealing with that. Everyone all over the state is, but our primary area of focus, at least for those of us in this room, is Northern Nevada. I know Washoe County's got some contested races, Douglas, Carson, I mean, the whole area up here, you know, but don't just listen to the sound bites. You know, I brought in prior to the primary campaign or the primary election, I brought in my opponent right here onto my program so that we could have a conversation that was further in depth than just the little sound bites that get out there in the media. And my hat's off to the man. He was big enough to at least come in here, and, you know, we had a little bit of time to talk face to face. You know, I'm glad to see that he was willing to come in and do that. But we got to have that civil discourse. We've got to have the conversation and the exchange of ideas, whether we agree with them or not, without resulting to riots and name-calling. And that's what we're seeing all across the country. And nobody's out there saying, this is what I'm going to do for my community. This is what I want to do for the constituents. No, it's all about how much mud you can sling on the other guy. And, you know, thank goodness for me, and I think for our county, that the good folks of Story County saw through that nonsense, and have been seeing through it for a couple of three different cycles now. But hopefully people will start remembering some of these things and demand that of the people who would hold an office. But we're coming up against a break again, so we're going to probably break it off here. We'll bring it back. Hopefully in our next segment, we'll be hearing from Gus, our other caller, or our other guest. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Good afternoon, and welcome back to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And as promised early on in the show, we are now joined via telephone by our friend Gus Finkel. And Gus, you told me on the break that you wanted to make a comment regarding what we were talking about just before the break. So I'm going to give you a minute for that. And then if you want, just please jump right in there and tell us about the upcoming events and what it is that is important for our listeners to be aware of.
Well, thank you very much, Sheriff, for the opportunity to talk to you on the phone and talk to your listeners. Appreciate the introduction. Also, the 601 Vigilance Committee is really dedicated towards maintaining that heritage and the living history there in Virginia City and Story County. As you very well know, as citizens up that live up in Virginia City know of the significant contributions that were made by that area of what was at the time was the Utah Territory, and eventually had a major role in Nevada becoming a state. But, this next coming week, and actually starting over the weekend, there's an opportunity to come up to Virginia City and be part of that history and see that history. Obviously, the 601 members, there are 60 of us, and part of our tradition is to maintain the tradition is to dress in period clothing and interact with the public as much as we can and talk about history and share those kinds of things. And you've got such a family atmosphere going up there, you know, with your dedication and your officer's dedication to public service, which obviously we all appreciate and have been in that career in the past. It's not an easy position to be in nowadays, but the opportunity presents itself. The Comstock played such a role in after 1859 all the way up through the Civil War and then eventually the statehood. Vigilance committees were, if you kind of wanted to call it, the kind of an informal first shot at the neighborhood watch.
I like that.
kind of a philosophy, but obviously as it went from the Boston, New York, and Philadelphia areas prior to the Civil War, then out to San Francisco, when it began, and, you know, obviously Virginia City played a great role in the development of San Francisco in later years. But the Virginia City, or the Vigilance Committee, or Committee of Vigilance, it was called in San Francisco in 1851 and 1856. A lot of those folks ended up coming over to Aurora, Nevada, and Bodie, and Virginia City, and Dayton, and those areas, and brought all those ideas that kind of grew out of mining camps of summary judgment type issues. But all that history is right there in Virginia City. And this being the 242nd year of our nation birthday, we've tried to work with as many people as we can and work with the tourism board and others up there and yourself and the community as we continue to do our nonprofit work up there as a registered nonprofit corporation in Nevada. The 601 Vigilance Committee is, you know, as you're aware of, is keep that heritage and history going, not only through the living history of attire and gun safety and donation to the community, but you know, with such places like the Opera House, Piper's Opera House, St. Mary's Art Center, the Firemen's Museum, the cemetery up there. We've tried to support all of those institutions. And, you know, as a volunteer organization of 60 individuals, you know, our roots go deep into the country as far as history goes. You know, just with that group of 60 gentlemen that we have in the 601 Vigilance Committee, that represents about 140 years of military experience and actually 200 years of law enforcement experience in the organization.
And those are all good points that you're making there, Gus. Why don't you tell us what is going on? You know, I know you've got the 4th of July stuff coming up that you guys have been heavily involved with. In the time remaining, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what all the folks can expect to see if they come up there to celebrate Independence Day with us, hang out with the 601. What can they expect starting at sunup?
Yep, starting at sunup, you'll see 601 members there helping support the VFW there in Virginia City. They've got a fundraising breakfast from 7 to 11 in the Bucket of Blood parking lot there at Union and C Street. We'll be at that time participating in their event, supporting them, and then also getting ready for our event that goes on later on in the evening. And then barbecues start over in the Delta parking lot on C Street at 10, and then everyone will be gathering around the parade, which is legendary up there and has been going on since the 1860s. If you go back in history, documented history of Virginia City, the 4th of July was the biggest event going on in that community, and that's a long-standing tradition. We hope to continue that. And then there's music starts playing both at the Ponderosa Saloon, and then you've got Squeaky Steel playing the piano there at the Bucket of Blood. And then from noon to 2, and then at 2 is Lady and the Tramps. And then you have another band at the Ponderosa in the afternoon. And then after the parade at 6 o'clock, the 601 is presenting the 19th annual Second Amendment concert starring David John and the Comstock Cowboys, who's also a member of the 601 Vigilance Committee, as is the bass player. We look forward to, he's going to perform some classic Western music as a 40-year experienced musician, producer, writer, both in Nashville and Los Angeles, USO Vietnam presenter with Bob Hope. He's got quite a history and traditions. He and his brother started that Second Amendment concert up there 19 years ago. So we're going to support them and have them perform for everybody. And that'll be in the parking lot there at the Bucket of Blood across the street at Union and C Street. Starts at 6 p.m. There'll be a break about 7:20. We're going to have a fundraising auction for the 601 Vigilance Committee. People qualify to purchase firearms with all the regulations. We're going to auction off some firearms for those people that are eligible for that. And then the music will continue until 9, which there will be the end of the concert. And then between 9:15 and 9:30, Virginia City merchants and people who donated will put on the fireworks display. Keeping in mind that all of this is free. The concert is free. The fireworks are put on by the community. All the merchants and everybody that's supporting that great family atmosphere with you and your departments buying security, and looking forward to a great time up there with everybody.
Well, thanks, Gus. It does sound like it is going to be a full and action-packed day. Folks, we are winding down here, but just to touch up on what Gus said, you know, starting early with the VFW and their breakfast, full day worth of events. Eddie Floyd from Here at America Matters is going to be up there calling the parade for us at noon. Yours truly will be leading the parade. Just a whole bunch of good stuff, and we'd sure like to have everybody come up and join us. One other thing to throw out there, this weekend, Saturday, is the Virginia City Motorcycle Marathon. So I believe that starts at East Gate, or it has in years past, It's a cross-country ride. They end up there in Virginia City. We'll have a big parade of motorcycles, cross-country bikes and everything about 5 o'clock. It's going to go right down C Street. We're going to escort them down through town and back again. It's a good organization, good group of folks that, again, raising money for local charities and whatnot. So no place like Virginia City to be entertained. Just about every day, every week, there is something going on up there, and we'd love to have you come up there. Just in our last minute, jumping back in to wrap up our earlier conversation, folks, be good citizens. We have an obligation to ourselves. We have an obligation to our communities. We have an obligation to each other. Learn the issues. Search out the facts. Don't just buy into the soundbite media and the National Enquirer type reporting that has become so commonplace. You know, it's just like with the stuff that's gone on with me. I have offered to make the information available, the factual information, to the press. They don't want to hear it because they don't want to be confused with the facts. You know, the television viewers, the newspaper readers, you know, they are so easily misled because somebody throws out some juicy tidbit and there doesn't have to be any proof. There doesn't have to be any fact. We have become so easily entertained by all of this nonsense that we just suck it up. Don't do it, people.
It's funny because as more and more of us drift to getting our information from our cell phones and different sources that aren't what we traditionally got them from, our attention spans have grown shorter as well. I mean, you look at the 15-second Instagram feed, you know, you look at the Facebook feeds, and you see something, it hits you three or four times, and away you go.
And you're right. And like Agent Mulder say, the truth is out there. Folks, the truth is easier to find than aliens, but nowhere near as glamorous. you know, the only way to stop the runaway wreck of our politics in this country is to invest yourself and search for the truth. Folks, we have reached the end of the show today. We want to thank you all for taking the time. If anybody did attempt to call in other than our guest Gus, I apologize for not getting to you. Before we go, we need to say a word about our sponsor. Come see them, Canvas Cafe, 110 North C Street. Tell Richard and Alexia that the sheriff sent you. All kinds of stuff going on, as we pointed out, this weekend, the motorcycle marathon, 4th of July. Come up and see us. Until then, be safe. God bless.